Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, Dennis Cooper here. If you're a fan of Culpable, then you know we normally focus on one case for an entire season, like the season one case of Christian Andreacchio and the season two case of Brittany Stikes. As I continue working on season three, I'll be using this platform to help more families in their fight for justice. Last fall, I brought you six cases over 6 weeks. Now, I'm bringing you five more. From Tenderfoot TV, another installment of Culpable Case Review is available now. Check out this clip.
So she jumped over her friend into the driver's seat, hit the gas. Her foot did not let off the gas. She hit a mailbox. I think she rolled into a tree, and she was already dead.
From Tenderfoot TV, Culpable Case Review is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus for early access and ad-free listening. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Rattled and Shook is released weekly, every Thursday, and brought to you absolutely free. But if you want to listen ad-free, subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus at tenderfootplus.com or on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get exclusive bonus episodes. For more information, check out the show notes. Now, enjoy the episode.
And now, presenting Rattled and Shook.
I'm April.
And I'm Meredith, and this is Rattled and Shook,
a podcast where we tune into scary stories and discuss our deepest, darkest fears,
but in a fun way. And speaking of fun, we are joined today with a guest.
Yeah.
Joined today by a guest.
Welcome, Joanna.
If I'm not fun, I'm really letting down the entire audience after that introduction.
Better live up to it.
I really did. Just label you immediately as fun. So you better be pretty fun.
I'm going to try so hard now. Yeah.
Well, we're having fun. It took us 30 minutes to actually get to the point to record because we had so many technical difficulties. So.
Oh, no.
I think we're in a good start.
Okay. You froze. I'm sorry.
Did I freeze for you, Joanna?
It shouldn't be.
No.
All right. Let's see how it goes.
Anyway.
Okay. I'm 100% sure that this is haunted. That
yeah.
This Riverside is haunted.
I have used Riverside before and I've never had this many problems.
I really do think it's the ghost.
The little ghosty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Joanna. All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and why you're here.
Well, I'm a big, big Tenderfoot fan. I'm a fan of this podcast. I'm a fan of Radio Rental. I'm a fan of horror. And I'm a comedian. I'm a writer. I very much love horror. I love, it's like the semblance of a panic attack I feel when I hear a scary story because I'm an anxious person and I almost feel like horror is an escape of that anxiety. I feel the same anxiety, but with something that isn't internal, isn't mine.
God, you sound just like April.
Yes.
That's April.
Really?
I say this to Meredith all the time. My mind is a terrifying place. It's horrible to be in here sometimes. So I love watching horror movies because it takes me out of my head.
Yes.
You know, it's just infinitely more fun than stewing in my internal turmoil.
Yes.
How about you?
I feel the same way.
Chill.
For me, it's horror and true crime are sort of my relaxation My relaxation content is that.
Yeah.
Because it just, the stakes are so high, anxiety is so high that it jolts me out of myself.
Yes.
And is that healthy? No. My therapist said it's not, but I don't care.
They're wrong.
So even though I love horror and I love the supernatural, I have always been like an atheist and very like anti-believing these stories. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I did have an experience in 2016 that sort of changed a lot of things for me. And I wrote to Tenderfoot being like, I'm a fan. Can I please tell you guys this story? Even if you don't put it on anything, I just feel like someone needs to read it because it's crazy. And then now here we are, you
Very
know?
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm so interested in this because you're speaking my language when you're like, I'm a little atheistic and you're skeptical. I think that's where I am a lot. And I'm like constantly mm-hmm. looking for someone to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me the experience that will change my mind about ghosts.
Yes.
So here are your two tasks, Joanna. Be fun and change Meredith's mind about ghosts.
I'm not asking for much.
You know what? The task is at hand. I'm going to try very hard. I have a fear of failure. So if I don't do those things, this podcast will haunt me.
That's crazy because that's also April's biggest fear.
Yep.
Wow. Like maybe me and April are the same person. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think that's a solid theory.
It's interesting because I grew up, April, I'm curious to see if you grew up the same way because we are the same person. Mm-hmm. I grew up with like my dad studied physics. And when I was 6 years old, when my grandpa died, I was like, Papi, what happens after you die? And he was like, nothing. You become dirt. Like that's been trauma. That's like trauma for me. I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget.
Core memory.
And then my mom is, you know, Venezuelan. My dad's Venezuelan as well, but my mom is Venezuelan, but almost like more stereotypical Venezuelan in the sense that she sort of like leans more into the magical realism mm-hmm. and the spirituality. Yeah. I think that's sort of like very much embedded in a lot of Latin culture. Like we have all these like creepy stories like La Llorona, El Silbón, yes. these like folk tales that sort of everyone knows and believes for some reason. And they're just all stories to make kids behave.
Yeah.
So I grew up with like this duality of life is just brutish short and you'll die and become dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But then also there's these spirits around and you never really fully know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I towed that line. Towed that line.
Towed.
Yeah.
For years.
That's really interesting because so you had both sides. I had only religion.
Oh.
But it was less magical realism and more, you know, kind of devout Christianity. And it's so interesting to me. And I feel like there's such a disconnect or like a contradiction growing up in Christianity, but also denying the supernatural and spiritual world kind of being a part of the everyday life type of thing, unless it's Jesus, angels, or demons.
There's no whimsical fairies.
Nope. They don't deal in fairies. It's sort of this very strict vision of spirituality and the supernatural where there's no room for an afterlife outside of heaven and hell. So it's like, why would they appear to you on earth? And I'm like, this just doesn't make sense to me. If this is true, why can't that be true?
It's like, this magical fairyland is real. The other one is not, okay? That one is fucking stupid. Like, it's crazy. I do feel that, like, you know, I'm Jewish, but I grew up in a country that's like 99% Catholic.
Yeah.
But the Catholicism in Latin America is very interesting because I do think they get more creative than like I think the more religious people I found here in the States.
There's a different brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in Venezuela, there's like all these saints and like, it's like, oh, there's this saint of the guy that was crucified next to Jesus. And then like, if you lose something, you like light a candle for him or, it's raining outside. You better put a knife out because the knife cuts the rain.
Wow.
Like there was less strict rules on what was and wasn't okay.
Yeah.
Really, there's this mysticism within the religiousness that I find like fascinating. Like I went to mm-hmm. camp in Venezuela in Los Llanos, which is sort of like the plains of Venezuela. And everyone that was at this camp was like me and you. And everyone there was like, oh yeah, there is a woman out there. She's a spirit. And if we leave camp, like if we leave the tents after 10, like she could take us and drown us in a river.
La Llorona, right?
La Llorona. And I'm like, mm-hmm. is this real? I was like 14 too. I was like, is this real?
Like, hold up.
Yeah.
I have questions.
And they're like, I'm like 80% sure. Yeah. But Meredith, I was like you where I would be like, I don't know, man. This can't be it. There has to be logical explanations for why we hear this woman's crying at night. Like, it's because of the wind. It's because mm-hmm. of the animals. It's yes. like, there's always a logical explanation that humans have, like, attributed something else to. So yeah. I feel like I am your love child, Meredith and April, is what I'm saying.
This is perfect.
And I'm so glad to be here.
We felt that from your email. Feels right. Like, I love listening to you talk about these things because it's so relatable. And I feel like I am both a skeptic, like you said you were, and a scaredy cat, which is why this mm-hmm. space is so fascinating to me, because I'm not like a brave skeptic. I'm not like immune to it. Yeah. I'm afraid of it, but it isn't real, but I'm scared. Like, as April knows, like, I have a hard time watching horror movies, but I'm like fascinated by them and I think about them. And I've even like written horror, but I'm like, I need to like control it, you know?
It feels like you don't fully believe it. And you kind of want it to be true, but you're too scared for it to be
yes.
true.
Mm,
you don't want to live in a world where that exists.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You're like, this is how we talked about spirits in our house. The word ghost was never uttered in my house. My parents are like medical people. The scariest yeah. thing that we talked about at the dinner table was like chronic diseases you could die from. Like, oh, that's my horror, you know, like.
Wouldn't you rather be talking about a potential ghost in the yes, library?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Much better than a chronic disease.
Yes.
It's so funny. It's like ultra grounded horror. The things my parents told me to fear were ultra grounded.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I don't like.
Me too. It's more anxiety.
Yep.
On that note, I think we should dive in. Let's see if you can, you know, fuel April's love of this and yes. maybe change my mind.
Let's escape.
Okay.
I would love that. Again, not a big ask.
No, really. I just have to sway your lifelong held opinion while being fun.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. okay. Okay, I could do it. Guys, I could do this.
We believe in you.
So, my story begins in 2016. In 2016, I had just started my career as a comedian. I wasn't like killing it per se. And I got this opportunity to shoot a commercial in Miami. And they weren't paying great, but they were like, dude, it's going to be an amazing trip. We're going to put you up in the nicest hotel and you're just going to get the 5-star pampered treatment. So I was like, let's go, baby. I just did a show in a basement full of asbestos in Brooklyn for 4 people. I am ready to go and just feel like a star. I get to Miami. I land at the airport. A driver's there to pick me up. The driver drives me to this beautiful hotel in Coral Gables, Florida. Now, in contrast to so many of the other buildings I'd seen in Miami, because Miami feels like a very young city with a lot of new buildings and developments, like, this building felt old. As I was driving up the driveway, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm going back in time to when this hotel just opened. I get out, I go into the lobby, and the lobby is beautiful. It's like gorgeous. There's plants. It has like this terracotta tile. To be fully transparent, I didn't love the feeling when I went in. But I was like, oh my God, Joanna, like, literally, you're staying at like such a nice hotel. Like, shut up and just check in. So I check in, I get my key, I go to the 5th floor. I'm walking down the hallway to my room, and plastered on the walls are these black and white pictures of what I'm assuming are photos of guests from the past. And as I'm walking down, I'm like, all these people are dead. And I go into my room, and it's a really nice suite. It's got this like little living room sitting area and then the bedroom separate. The view has all palm trees, really gorgeous. But there's something about the room that I don't like. I just don't like being in there. You know, I was like early 20s living in a horrible apartment in New York. This is the nicest room I've been in like years. But I just didn't feel good in it. And I started getting this pressure in my chest. And I was like, oh, I'm allergic. I'm like an allergic Jew. Of course, this is allergies. This might be my asthma flaring up. And I just so happened to have my inhaler with me. So I just like took a few puffs of inhaler. If you want to incorporate some audio of an inhaler sound here, that would really help the ambiance.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the gym. I'm feeling a little anxious. I'm going to go to the gym and run this off, like whatever this is off. I go to the gym and the gym looks very different than the rest of the hotel. The gym is in the basement. The ceilings are low and it kind of looks out of place a little bit. But, you know, I don't care. I'm just getting on a treadmill. Who cares? So I get on the treadmill. I'm like running for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden I look down and I see that my neck, my chest and my arms are all like red. And I have this inflamed red rash all over the right side of my body. And I was like, God, what the hell is going on here? So I was like, you know what? This is my cue. I shouldn't be working out. I also have a really early call time. They're picking me up at 5 a.m. I should just go to bed. I don't need to be working out today. So I go upstairs. I take a Benadryl. I get in bed. I watch some TV. And then I'm like, all right, time to go to bed. Time to go to sleep. A couple hours later, I'm like in deep sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm awakened by a really loud sound. Just a reminder, it's 2016, and I'm awakened by a Donald Trump campaign commercial. And I was like, what the hell is going on? The TV is on at the max volume. And I'm like, that's so weird. I thought I had turned off the TV. Maybe I left the TV on and then rolled over and the volume went up. So I turn off the TV and I put the remote on the night table. I go back to sleep. And I don't know how much later, I don't know if it was minutes or hours, I wake up again. And the TV is on again at the max volume. And this time it's like, do you have moderate to severe plaque psoriasis? You know, and I'm like, what is going on here? I looked at the remote on the nightstand. I'm like, okay, you know what? Just turn it off and maybe unplug it. So I go, I unplug the TV, I go back to bed. And I'm in bed and all of a sudden I hear a male and a female voice from the adjoining like little sitting area, not the bedroom. And I'm hearing these voices back and forth like, And I always think about this moment very clearly because it was a realization I had where I go through life not thinking about my heartbeat. But then in that moment, all I could hear is my heart making itself present. I am so afraid right now. I can't logically put together an explanation for what is happening. So I walk into the little adjoining room, and that TV is on. There was another TV in the living room that had somehow turned on, and it was on like Will and Grace or something. I don't know. So I turn on all the lights and I'm like, all right, it's like 3 a.m. I might as well get ready. They're picking me up in 2 hours. I don't want to fall asleep again. Like, I'm not doing this. I disconnect that TV. I'm like, I'm just going to take a really quick shower. Now, the bathroom was like this very long bathroom where the shower was on one edge and then you had the mirror on the other end. I left the door open. I was just like, just shower how you shower in camp, like really fast, you know? And I'm in that point in the shower where you have to close your eyes because you have shampoo in your hair. And all of a sudden I hear this like weird sound and it's like this rah, 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 rah. And I look and the hairdryer, which is one of these hairdryers that's stuck on a wall, is turning on and off. It almost sounds like someone is pressing the button on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And at that point, I'm like, I'm out. I am not doing this. Shampoo in my hair. I trip over the freaking towel. I like get dressed as fast as I can. And I just rush to the lobby. I need to focus. This is my first commercial. I slept like maybe an hour and a half. So I sit in the lobby for like an hour or whatever, waiting for this driver to come pick me up. And then he arrives. So I get into the back of the car and the driver's looking at me through the rearview mirror. And he's like, hey, like, how was your night? How was it? I was like, you know, I don't know this guy. I don't want him to think I'm crazy. I just was like very tepidly. I was like, yeah, you know, I didn't sleep that well. And, you know, I know this is going to sound a little crazy, but I felt like there was someone in my room. And he was like, no, that makes sense. I was like, wait, what do you mean? And he was like, this is the most haunted hotel in Florida and one of the most haunted hotels in America. You're not the first person I pick up from this hotel to tell me something like this. And it felt like a wave of anxiety. I've spent the last hour in the lobby figuring out logical explanations for everything that's happened to me. And now you're telling me there are no logical explanations? And he's like, yeah, you know, this hotel used to be a fancy hotel at the turn of the century, but then the mafia was involved in it. This guy called Tommy Fatty Walsh, a well-known gangster, was like shot and killed there in 1929 on like the fourth or fifth floor. So then the hotel became a hospital. And I was like, oh my God, keeps getting worse. Like mafia to hospital. And he's like, yeah, yeah, became a hospital. He's like, fun fact, the morgue of the hospital was in the gym. And I was like, oh my God, the rash. Maybe my body was rejecting all of the memories of the dead bodies. I don't know. And he was like, yeah, you know, after it was a hospital, it was abandoned for many years and people would break in and apparently would do seances. And then recently the hotel was renovated and reopened. And he's like, there's a bunch of stories about this hotel from people that have worked there, from people that have stayed there. It's well known that there are things that happen, from like sounds to visions, electrical inconsistencies. It's just what it is. Everyone knows. Everyone knows this hotel is haunted. And I had to go shoot my first commercial like 20 minutes after having this conversation. I was just like not present, obviously, because I knew that night I had to go back and sleep there. Before, it was at least a question mark. It was at least like, maybe I'm the crazy one, you know? But now this just like fomented all my fears. I remember I was in the shoot and I had a mic on. When you're shooting something and you have a microphone, sometimes you forget that you're mic'd. And I was telling my co-star, like, yeah, I'm terrified. I'm 100% sure that the hotel they put me at is haunted. I think that I was haunted by this one particular ghost called Tommy Fatty Walsh because he was a well-known gangster and apparently he had an affinity towards tall women, and I'm tall. And I'm saying all of these crazy things. And then the producer comes up to me and he's like, hey, can you shut the fuck up? The client is listening in and thinks that we're like torturing you. We're changing hotels. You just need to go and pick up your things after the shoot. They drove me back to the Biltmore and I had to call my mom. I was like, I can't call my dad. My dad won't believe me. I called my husband. My husband was like, this is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard. I don't believe a word you're saying. And then I'm like, the only person that will believe me here is my spiritual mom, who I used to make fun of. She'll understand. I put her on speaker. I ran into the room, grabbed my stuff, ran down to the lobby and went to check out. And the guy at the checkout was like, hey, oh, you're leaving a day early. Is everything okay? And I was like, yeah, I didn't feel great in the room. And he was like, I understand. And he checked me out. Ever since then, I have not booked a hotel without first Googling everything, because the moment I left the Biltmore, I Googled it. I Googled Biltmore ghost stories, and the amount of stories, of articles, of freaking Yelp reviews, hotels.com reviews, where people are like, I saw a woman. I saw a woman in the night. It's crazy. They sort of have embraced their haunted identity and they're not trying to dispel it, to the point of like some dark tourism, actually. Like people go there in Halloween to stay there to see if they can like meet up with some of these ghosts and some of these patients or gangsters that died there. It was like the one experience in my life that I can't explain and that changed me. It was like my baptism to become more of a skeptic.
Less of a skeptic?
Or less of a skeptic? Okay. Less of a skeptic.
Thank you.
We know what you want. Another ad. Right?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Wow. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, I was initiated into it pretty drastically and dramatically. It wasn't a Ouija board and a sleepover. It was, you know.
And when you had like a responsibility that meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
That's like the worst possible time to be like, you know what? Actually, while the universe is giving you a really good gig, let's also see if you can do ghosts. Yeah.
I was like, this is my big break. I can pay for rent for a couple months. And then it was like, surprise, bitch. Like, scary movie.
What was the commercial?
It was for like some cable, like a Spectrum cable or something like that.
TV. It's, oh my gosh. That's in the canon of the story.
I didn't even think about that.
That ghost was watching cable too.
I am convinced the guy that was fucking with me was Tommy Fatty Walsh, because not only did he love tall women, and I'm very tall, but like apparently he had a sense of humor.
Yeah, he had a type. You're his type.
I'm his type. I'm that ghost's type for sure. You know what? I want to be wanted. I want to be desired. Okay. I don't want this to be a ghost who just wanted to ruin my life. I like to believe that the ghost kind of liked me, maybe had a little crush. Yeah.
I do have some questions. I like just a couple. And my biggest question is, you know, you mentioned your heartbeat accelerating, and I totally get that. Not being aware of your heartbeat most of the time. I'm not. But what was that moment like when you were hearing the male and female voice? The TV had already gone on and off twice, and you're like, what is in the other room? Because I think for me, I'm imagining myself in that place, and I know that I'd be like, I cannot ever, like, I can never go in that room.
I was frozen for a bit. I'm not going to say like I was like brave immediately. Like I was frozen for a bit, but it got to a point where I kind of had to. I needed to go through that room to leave. I couldn't stay where I was. There was just nothing to do. And that moment, I think, was the moment I noticed something about myself, which is in a fight or flight, I tend to fight.
Damn.
I'm a fighter.
Good for you.
I grabbed the remote as a weapon. I forgot to say that.
So, amazing weapon, by the way.
Yeah, it's really good. It was either that or my tweezers.
Honestly, toss up. Toss up.
Toss up. Toss up. Depends how close I'm going to get to whatever's on the other side. I thought that my logical brain would take over and that I would start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, because I was also like kind of asleep with Benadryl, right? So like I was like, I think there's logical things here that I'm just like, it's not clicking for me at the moment. And if I just give me a second, I think I can figure out what's going on. And every time I find a solution, like, oh, maybe it's a remote control in the other room, something else would happen to prove that that was not logical enough. Because then the hair dryer thing was just...
It was constantly one-upping you.
I've never one-upping felt this you. Way. I've never felt the feeling of being watched in that way. I felt it the most when I was in the shower. And I think it's because Tommy Walsh wanted to see me in the shower. I'll say it, you know.
That's right.
I literally felt like I was being watched. And I was... Ugh. It's so funny because I could see myself in the mirror.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
It's like... You know, firstly, you have to, you know, how much mirror time do you like with yourself? You know, that's a personal question. But then there is the idea, like the psycho of it all, where you're like,
yeah.
this is the image that when I die, like this is what the camera shot is when I'm murdered yeah. in the shower and I get to see
it. Yeah, it felt like third person. It felt like a third person yeah. perspective. Like, oh, you know what? They're getting some coverage. This is the wide angle shot.
This is the wide.
They go in for close-ups and like, you know, Psycho, obviously, you know, emblematic death scene of the protagonist who is an actress brutally murdered in her shower.
Because she was somebody's type.
Yeah, she was someone's type.
Don't ever be anyone's type.
Men will leave you alone even in death. They will holla at you in your hotel room when you think they're not there. They did put me up in a hotel afterwards, and it was like the W hotel that was built
so
in like
normal.
2015. And I was just so happy to be there. I was like, I'm going to order room service. I'm going to leave the TV on all night. No ghosts here, baby. I don't think this was on a
not at the
burial
W.
ground, you know, not at the W. The only sounds I would hear are from the club that was downstairs. And honestly, I didn't care. I was like, all those people are very much alive. And yeah. I'm fine with it.
So any final takeaways?
I think my final takeaway is just like, I don't know if I believe in ghosts specifically. I don't know if I believe in all of this stuff, but I know that I'm not sure about anything anymore after that experience.
Did anything happen ever again?
I did accidentally get booked to stay at a hotel in Chicago where a woman was violently stabbed to death like a couple years before. And I could not, nothing happened, but I could not sleep that night. I was convinced she was there with me, but nothing happened. I think she's resting peacefully.
Well, it makes sense. You're on the defensive after this Biltmore experience.
Exactly. You know, don't blame me.
No.
Blame Tommy Fatty Walsh.
Blame the producers that keep not doing their research, like in booking poor actors and actresses into haunted, like in this Spectrum commercial or whatever. Do you feel like you have like a haunted look in your eyes? Like, did you have like a hollow...
I think I did, but I think it worked because I was supposed to be a character who like kept fumbling and messing things up. And then this beauty queen would come up to me and say like, don't worry, I got you. It honestly did. The commercial didn't make much sense, but the fact that I was sort of not really on actually worked. If you think about it, I'm kind of like a Daniel Day-Lewis. I really.
Yeah, Tommy helped you method.
I method acted.
Okay, well. Tell us like about your podcast so people can tune in and listen to you.
Yeah, so, you know, listen to my podcast, Hyphenated. My name, again, is Joanna Hausman. I make some funny content on the internet if you want to check me out, you know. Joanna, Hausmann. Not at all the spelling you would expect, but it's the spelling that I got. So here we are.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much, Joanna. This has been amazing. I think I'm like 1% more convinced. And like that's another drop in my bucket.
Really worth my trauma. Really worth reliving my trauma for you to get to that 1%.
I'm so glad. I knew that that's what you did it for. Oh, would you look at that? It's ad time.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Do you ever wish you could become a detective and help find the clues to the case? How about all of that in a mobile game that you can take anywhere? In June's Journey, each scene leads to a new thrilling storyline. Uncover the mystery of June's sister's murder and find out about scandalous family secrets. The gameplay lets you find hidden clues as you investigate a murder mystery. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance. Let your imagination run wild when decorating your island estate and collect scraps of information to fill your photo album and learn more about each character. Whether you're craving a good mystery or looking for an escape, you can immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story, taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. I travel so much while working that I personally love to play it while sitting around airports with all that free time I have. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This next story was sent in by Tess. Thanks, Tess. It's about a freaky incident that happened in her childhood, and once again proves that Florida is indeed a creepy place.
When I was 10 or 11 years old, I lived with my sister, who was about 12, and my mom in a long ranch-style house. If you're facing the house, the garage was on the left, connected to the house by a hallway. The hallway had a back door that led outside to the backyard. One day, my mother, sister, and I were getting ready to go somewhere in my mom's car. All three of us were in the garage about to get into the car when my mom asked if we could quickly feed our pet rabbits. The rabbits lived in a rabbit hutch in the backyard. My sister led the way, and I followed her from the garage into the hallway, presumably to get to the back door. However, as I followed my sister, she continued past the back door, straight into the kitchen and living room. As soon as I noticed she was passing the back door, I started saying something like, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" But she didn't respond. Instead of going out the back, I followed her into the living room and continued asking her what she was doing until she reached the front door. At that point, she had her hand on the front doorknob and turned to look at me. But instead of my sister's normal face, the features were blurry. Like there was television static on her face, making it look distorted. There was no discernible smile, and her eyes looked misshapen, like they were oblong instead of circular. She looked at me for a second or two, and then suddenly, it was like she just walked through the solid door. She didn't open it, but still seemed to go through it. I didn't move or do anything for a moment, until I heard my sister's voice behind me, asking me what I was doing. I turned around, and my actual sister was standing behind me, looking annoyed that I wasn't helping her with the rabbits. I can't remember this next part clearly, but I'm sure I screamed. I tried to tell her what had just happened. We were both so scared and ran to the garage to tell my mom. One weird detail I've always remembered is that whatever this thing was, its hair was up in a ponytail, but my sister's hair was down that day. I'm sure of it. I don't know at what point the hairstyle changed, when I was following her, or if I was even following my real sister at any point at all. It always seemed so eerie to me. I'm originally from Naples, Florida, and this took place in what's considered Old Naples, a historic district of the town, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Rattled and Shook is a Tenderfoot TV production in partnership with Odyssey. Executive producers are Donald Albright and Payne Lindsay. Co-executive producer is Meredith Stedman. Hosted and produced by April Ruha and Meredith Stedman. Lead editor and sound designer is April Ruha. Additional production by Sean Nerney. Production management by Tracy Kaplan and Jordan Foxworthy. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Original art by Puppy Teeth. Follow us on social media at Rattled and Shook.